As always, subscribe and click the notification bell on our YouTube channel. Be active on our Facebook group, East Coast Distressed Note Investing, and be sure to go to our website for all your note investing tools, resources, and available assets. If you have any questions, email us at tradedesk@jkpholdings.com.
Hey everyone, Dave Putz from JKP Holdings. Alongside me, Mr. Nathan Turner. How are you, man?
Hello, I'm doing well. How about you?
Good, man. It's a rough week getting back. We were on vacation last week. We were gone for like a million days.
Yeah.
I was quietly, nicely surprised. Two of my closest friends surprised me on our vacation and showed up on the cruise ship. And it was a shout out to Jack and Tim. It was really nice, right? So we had a good time with the family. Got some warm weather and had some good time. So it was relaxing, you know, spending a lot of time with the kids.
That's good. I had the opposite. I had cold weather. I went on a winter camping trip with my son.
Well, hopefully you had a good time. And from the pictures we saw, it looked like a good time.
It was fantastic. It was really, he's part of this outdoor education program that he had to apply to get into and all this. It's a really cool thing, but they build Quinsies, which is where you pile up a big giant pile of snow and then you hollow it out and you sleep in there. It was really cool. It was just a ton of fun and I was glad to be part of it. So beautiful That's weather, awesome. Actually. It was just not too far below freezing, so it wasn't too cold, but yeah, really nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're back in the thick of things. We have a few awesome things coming up. We are talking to a lot of people before about what we're looking to do with AI and stuff like that. But there's some basics we got to get done too in the space.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's funny. We were at Node Expo back in November and we ran to Debbie, who would be joining us in a few minutes. And we're talking about the fact that bookkeeping is a crucial part of what we do.
It's funny, you know, it's one of those background things that you don't necessarily think about, but you have to do it. It actually has to be there as part of your business. It's very, very important.
Yeah. And it's difficult because, you know, what we've found over the years is not every person understands what we do.
No, especially like accountants and stuff. I sat with my accountant when we were first hiring him for, it was at least 2 hours, just kind of going through and explaining what it is and how it works and answering questions and informing them till they finally got it to where they're like, oh, okay, I get it. Therefore, this is how we're going to set it up. But like, it's not obvious and it's not the same as a rental and it's different. So you got to make sure your accountant knows that this is not the same thing as a rental.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And we've been talking about, you know, creating notes and I see Marty chiming in here that, he's a CPA, which is awesome, right? Marty, please call us that if we're wrong. We want all the honest information we have. And what we've been doing a lot about is just giving information. Those who are just tuning in, please remember this is will be put on our podcast as well as the YouTube channel and recorded and everything else. And we've done tons of these. And we're all about giving information, things that we don't know and things we question, and also just good solid people in the space that you can reach out to for anything you may need and whatnot. So
this has been great for us.
So you can say again,
I'm just thinking, you know, this is 3 years we've been doing this now.
Yes.
And I'm just like thinking back on all the shows that we've done and about things that we didn't know about or things that we were like kind of knew about, but not really all the way. And so this has been a great thing for us to learn.
Yeah.
So I would hope that people see the value in it. There's a ton of information on here. It's been really great to be doing this.
Absolutely. And I think some of it, like you said, we're learning is sometimes people don't want to tell people what they don't know, right? They feel kind of guilty being honest, which kind of throws out the window for what we're doing, because I think that's how we grow.
Yeah.
What we've learned about in the last 3 years has been awesome.
And
I think the guests we've had are been rock solid. We're really picking on who we have on our calls, our webinars and stuff like that. And the feedback we've gotten has been awesome. We've seen numbers rising. So please share what we're doing and give us feedback on things that you think we should touch upon and whatnot.
So, and then for our guest today, let me give this background for myself. So I have a university degree in general business management. So as part of my degree, I had to take two accounting classes. I got D minus and D minus. I barely squeaked by, barely.
Yeah.
And I remember once, it must have been my second class, and the professor, I saw him in the hall and chatted with him for a little bit, and he said, you should really look into a career in accounting. That it can be a really great career. And I said, yeah, because I'm the one paying them. There's no way I'm doing this ever. Like, it's just not my bag. I really don't like it. And so I'm more than happy to give it to somebody like Debbie or another
Yeah.
qualified accountant that can look at it and take it over and take it off my plate.
Yeah. And we, yes, absolutely. We want to just real quick some book, housekeeping stuff. Me and Nathan are running a private class. For those who are creating notes, welcome to our show. Welcome to our call. If you're watching live or if you're on YouTube, make sure you do all the good stuff and comment and thumbs up. We're running special classes for you guys to learn how to structure notes. To make him what book note buyers look for and structure it so you get the most dollar for it. So please reach out to us. Let us know if you need help with that, structuring it. It's not designed for note buyers, it's for note creators. And we've been running that live class randomly throughout the time to help you guys out. On the flip side, how is our DME looking? How's our note conference in May coming along?
Fantastic. We're so excited. We've got all of our sponsors are starting to come in, and man, we've got some great sponsors this year and some really great content that we're going to be bringing. I can't wait. It's going to be just a ton of fun.
That's
So
awesome.
officially, we were just making some little tweaks to the website before we kind of officially said tickets are on sale. Tickets actually are on sale. If people want to go check it out, we'll be blasting that out early next week to just make sure everybody knows and grab your tickets early. Save
Yep.
$100 if you buy an early bird, and then you've got the hotel rate as well. So that's an additional $200, like $200 total that you'd be saving by buying before April 30th. So I know that sounds like a long way away. It's not. So make sure you jump on that sooner than later.
Awesome. Yep, I believe everyone got the link in there. So I know that I don't want to hold our guests, too much longer. So we're gonna bring Miss Debbie in. Miss Debbie's been someone we've known for a long time. I think I got introduced to Debbie 2016. We did one bookkeeping thing years ago. So it's been a while. But like you said before, it is so difficult to understand the space as an investor. If you start taking on the bookkeeping side of it, good luck, right? You need someone that understands it and also a CPA that really kind of dials in on the fact that what we do, because we're not a traditional investor buying rental properties, right? So if you're creating notes, this is for you. If you're buying notes, this is for you. Most of the people we're talking to who are creating notes are also holding the notes. So make sure you're doing the best of both worlds and make sure your bookkeeping is solid. So
Yeah.
without further ado, Debbie, welcome.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
You're
I'm excited to
welcome.
be here.
Absolutely. So tell
So
us a little
Debbie,
bit about
yeah.
yourself. How'd you get started? Where are you coming from? Why accounting?
I know. So I'm one of those people that love the numbers and, I love the black and white world of accounting. So I've been doing this on my own for about 10 years now. And originally, like a lot of people, I got interested in real estate investing. And so I was going to meetings and, groups. And I met a CPA who only did tax returns for investors. And so he had a really large book of business, but he didn't want to do the bookkeeping. And I was ready to become self-employed and go out on my own so that I could kind of do a little more real estate investing as well. And then I got my real estate license. So really, I'm really thankful that we connected and he got me started, sent his clients my way, and that was a great way to get started. And so I've just focused on investors from day one. And I do some of my investors have other companies as well. So I'll do the books for both. But most of my clients are real estate investors. And most
That's
do
good.
notes, but they have diverse portfolios.
That's awesome.
Very good.
So When did you get first started in this space?
2014.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 2014. So, you know, it's that scary transition where I started taking on clients on the side and you want to give up your full-time job, right? And I just took the leap. And as soon as I did that, most of my clients came from referrals because we all work in these groups and network together. And it just, you know, it just took off from there. And I really enjoy it. I love it. You know, like bookkeeping for me and a P&L and a balance sheet. It's like my own little art of work of art. So
high five.
I'm glad for people like you, Debbie. Because
I was laughing when you said you got D minuses in accounting.
I would rather throw myself off a cliff. Like I like my wife and I have this conversation less now because she knows very well how I feel about it. But anytime she comes in for questions, I have to kind of steel myself and say, okay, yep, go ahead and prepare myself. Cause I just don't enjoy it at all. Not even in the least.
Yeah.
I think that that's a really important thing to share with everybody is, you know, when I start talking to somebody and they need help with their books and we're just making that connection, I can tell that they really feel bad. Like they almost don't even want me to see their books because they know that it's kind of a mess. And I'm like, you know, I mean, I see it all the time. So don't worry about that. You're not a bookkeeper, right? And you just don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's software packages out there, right? Like QuickBooks Online and things. And so people, you know, you think that that's going to help you, but you really still have to know the back, you know, what's behind all that and mm-hmm. how to code things. And it's not as simple as you think that, you know, that software is not going to be your 100% answer.
No, for sure. Absolutely.
You run into so many questions. I know when I first did, I started doing it myself. I was doing in Excel, then QuickBooks. And then I got to a point where I had a question. And then I realized how deep I was in it and how I did everything else wrong. And I'm like, holy God.
Yeah.
And it's an undoing process of everything and saying, oh my God, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And it was a headache.
Yeah. And that's really where it starts for me too, because I'll get somebody a random question like, oh, you know, I just need to see if my gain is correct on this. I'm like, okay, well, we have a lot of steps. And that's one of the biggest things is figuring out gain and loss in your books. It goes so many levels deep. I'm like, I can't just answer that question without seeing your books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So today's topic is all about horror stories, right? You know, I think a lot of people in the space, we want to focus on the investing side, putting money on an asset and making money. That's our focus, right? So for us, they're looking to save a penny. We're taking a penny out of another place. We're really not being the investor. And when it comes down to if you're taking other people's money, it becomes three times, four times more responsible to use someone professional to make sure everything's right. You don't want someone to get upset. So we were talking about the top five mistakes we have, but what do you think for a brand new investor, either creating a note today, which are probably listening, or buying their first note or going through some training courses, what should they be first doing to make sure they're set up correctly to buy or originate a note in general?
So the biggest thing I'll tell people is that you're not buying notes. You're not investing. You are running a business. Mm-hmm. And especially if you have set up an LLC, I mean, you can certainly do it through your social security number as a sole proprietor, but that's the biggest, just the verbiage that we use kind of puts people headed down only the investing side of it.
Yeah.
You have to have all that knowledge on how to buy, what to buy, and all of that. But that's not running your business, right? So I tell people that, so one of the things I would always do is like, okay, well, when should I start keeping books, right? And you should start keeping books the day you open your LLC. That's the day your business started. Because they'll be like, well, maybe I'll start when I get like five notes or,
So just to jump in there right now, I heard the word LLC, right? That's crucial. We shouldn't be buying notes like I did my first one in your private name.
I mean, you don't need your social security number for anything in life, right? So you don't want things tied to your personal name. You should jump right in with an LLC or whatever entity. And I'll use LLC a lot, but I mean whatever entity
Okay.
structure works for you. But
Sure.
most people start with an LLC, right? And there's no need to overcomplicate that structure. You're really just doing it to separate personal from business. And you should do that from day one. Unless maybe you're a passive, truly a passive investor where you are just giving money to other people as an individual, right? You're not buying the notes, you're not managing the notes and things like that. So sometimes that can just be a personal investment, but even then I would want, I would still want my own set of books and my own LLC to
Yeah, the
have.
separation. It's not a bad idea ever. You just have a little bit of separation.
But then, that's when you really get into bookkeeping as well, because even though people set up an LLC, they completely commingle and still use their personal funds. Or they're using a credit card with their personal name on it. But they're only using it for the company, but it's still the statement. I always say, well, what name is on the statement, right? So if your name is on the statement, then it's still personal and now you're commingling and you're breaking that corporate veil. You
And
want
that's a big thing.
to
Breaking that corporate veil means that anyone can sue you personally. And that's a big thing here, guys. If you're originating one note, you need to have it not in your name, in a company name, because if not, they can go after you, your family, your house, everything personally. You need to protect yourself.
Yes. So that's probably I will tell you that's the biggest thing that I see, right? And even when you're using a line of credit, a lot of people start out using a line of credit. And they'll put the line of credit, directly into the company, and then the company will start paying the interest on that line of credit. And it cannot be that direct because the minute you use your line of credit for whatever you want, I'm going to buy a car or, do some house improvements. Now that interest in the LLC is not only for the note, right? And so you really have to separate those two things.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So let's dive into this, right? This wonderful, fun game of bookkeeping. And
So it was funny because when we first talked, we're like, okay, so we know everybody thinks bookkeeping is boring. So I'm like, okay, so we talked about the horror stories. Well, the horror stories will scare you into, okay, I really need a set of books on this stuff, right?
yeah. So
right, yeah,
let's,
so let's
I'm
hear it.
looking up, go ahead. I'm just looking up when we actually talked last, when our last one was, which is crazy, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm curious, get into this. Like what kind of horror stories? What can happen if we do this wrong?
So I had five examples of how not having a set of books. So I have another screen over here, just so you'll know. So I was going to kind of go through those, and it all talks about the amount of money that was lost or maybe even found. And so nothing perks us up more than when we start talking about money, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
You want to share your screen?
I say I do have a screen, yes, that we could
Yep.
share. Okay. Do
There we go.
You see nightmares?
Yep.
Okay. All
If
right.
you have problems seeing it on the live feed, please let me know and we'll make adjustments.
Yeah, I say because I don't
Looks like
see
it's
it
showing up
over here
again.
with us, but okay, so nightmares happen when there's no checks and balances in the system, right? And when you don't have a formal set of books or some type of software system, then that's going to happen because there's just a lot of human error. And so the thing I always say is you cannot run a business on a spreadsheet. There is too much human error that happens. Too many things get missed or things are just calculated wrong. And sometimes they're just not in the right place in the books, right? And so when I sit down to do the books with somebody, you know, the first thing they'll tell me is, okay, I have everything entered. And so we'll go to the balance sheet, and I don't know if you can see these little check marks that have a yellow line, a vertical line. Well, in QuickBooks, you actually reconcile, which means you balance to your statement, right? And so I'll say, okay, well, you know, what's your December statement say? And their books don't match their December statement. Well, that means something's missing, right? So now we know we're not accurate. Mm-hmm. So this is the importance of having that system, right? Okay, so here's some nightmares. So again, I do the books for my clients, but I also help people do their books. And most of this comes from when I'm helping someone do their books. So, and this isn't note specific, but it's investing specific, but this just lets you know the importance of breaking everything out is what I want to get at. So this was something as simple as, but this would be for notes. If you take possession and then you're selling a property and you get that closing statement, well, we break that closing statement out. Every single line that's on the statement gets broken out in your books. And so I was helping a gentleman break his out, and we discovered that the title company owed him $4,000. And we were probably doing the books like, you know, this was months, 6 months later that I'm helping him, right? Because he got the deposit, but when we actually broke out the statement, the deposit wasn't correct from closing. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm really off 4,000 here. I don't see what's happening. He's like, I think that title company owes me $4,000. And they did. Hmm. And as a real estate agent, I can tell you a lot of closing statements I see are not correct anyway. But most people are just like, okay, and they just sign off, right? And move along. So breaking out closing statements in your books, you might find some money. Okay, so this is a big one. When you take owner draws from the company, so this can happen. And people are like, what? You know, I've taken this money out of the company, but now I owe the company 40 some thousand dollars. Why, you know, why can't I take that money out? And like I said, this is really a big issue that I see. When you're running a business, you can only take out the profit from the company. That's what a draw is. You're taking the profit. If you don't have a profit and loss statement to see what that profit is, you mm-hmm. don't know how much you can take out. And so this happens a lot. And I would bet that some of you might look at your tax returns and you might find that you have a due from shareholder on your tax return because your CPA looked at your distributions and he's like, okay, there wasn't that much money to take out of the company. And they recode it as due from shareholder. Mm-hmm. And I saw that early on when I started doing this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And if you think about it, you're like, well, I have all this money in my bank account, but it might be that the JV partners have been giving you money. And so you're like, well, it seems like I have a lot of money to take out of the company, but
yeah,
you know, you really don't. So this is a big one. And this hits every part of bookkeeping, income, expenses, assets, liabilities, all of that factors right into this, this example. So now that's one task is check out your tax returns and see if you see any of that. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those questions I get a lot that I just mentioned. You know, can you help me figure out the gain or loss on this property? And so I sat down.
Make sure if you're having a hard time seeing it all, just let me know. Is there a way, Debbie, you can make it a little bit bigger? Is there a view? I see a view in the top left corner. Is there a way you can make it a bigger screen?
Does that help at all?
I think so, Nathan. But how's it look to you?
Yeah, a little bit. I can see that a little bit better. It's just the writing is a little small.
If you're keeping that control, yeah, if you're keeping that scroll, keep making it bigger, which is great. Awesome. Okay.
And some of the, you know, some of those print screens are things we could get into the nitty gritty about as examples. But they're, you know, they're also kind of there just to, like, this is maybe what it would actually look like in your books versus a spreadsheet. So the first thing with trying to figure out your gain and your loss is you will have no idea what that truly is unless you know your books. Everything else in your books are done and correct, right? Because we can't be missing anything to figure that out. And so this gentleman used the spreadsheet, and we were going through things and breaking things out and trying to mirror what would happen in bookkeeping. And he had a JV partner on this, and it was a note. This was a note example. And he thought he had made $5,500 on it after he had paid the JV partner, right? So he thought he had made $5,500, but there were some pretty good expenses in there that weren't captured. And technically, he lost $21,000.
Oh, ouch.
And he had already paid out the JV partner before doing this exercise and actually knowing that it was correct.
Oh boy.
And it really got paid out just because they got the check from the, you know, the title company, wrote the check, and didn't really, you know, had not figured out the correct gain. Which was actually a loss.
Whoops.
Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes these things, you have these notes for a while and things get forgotten, right? Like, because they're on a spreadsheet, or, you know, so if you have your books, they're going to have a whole history of everything that happens is going to be in your books. But this one was, this one was pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he split that profit, right? Well, I'm going to pay my JV partner X dollar based on the returns.
Yeah.
He just actually lost more money than he should have because he paid his JV partner.
Yes. Because he wrote a large check to the JV partner. Yeah,
we did have a comment from Marty. Nathan, did you see that comment?
I did, yeah, and that was a good point. Marty's saying, what people don't know is if you have an S, or if you have a corporation S or C, and you take more money than you have basis in your company, it's actually taxable to you personally. So it's like that's a double whammy. So you want to make sure you're doing that correctly.
I didn't. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. It could become,
thank you, Marty. Appreciate it. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. Could become income for you. And and I had just done that particular Zoom with my clients that I do the books with. And even after working with people for years and years and doing their books, and I'm always putting notes on there like, you know, hey the profit was this and you're taking this much. But just not zooming in on it, right? And so that was even just really helpful for them, even after doing their books for years and years. So this is the biggest thing, gains and losses, right? Because that's what you're doing in investing.
Yeah.
And these are they're very rarely correct when I review them. Okay, so that was a big one. So this is kind of a smaller one as well. And again, this would, you know, you take your notes, you take possession of the property, and then people do rent them out, right? I do see that happen a lot. And so you work with a property management company and you get the deposit from the property management company, right? They've taken the rent, they've paid the expenses, the repairs, and you get that deposit. Most people just record that deposit as income. Well, you have to break out every line of that property management statement. I mean, I have some people who have multifamily, so we're talking lots and lots of units, and you know, this the line, you can have 20, 30, 40, you can have a lot of lines when you're breaking out that property management company, because it's your checks and balances for one thing. And I will tell you that this is the worst part of my job. Because these property managers aren't usually bookkeeping people, right? And they have their system. So everything in their system is just money in or out. And so it's just not always accurate, and they don't really have a checks and balances system.
Correct.
So we find, I find errors probably every month on every property management statement. It's just kind of one of those things. Or I get a new property management statement and the opening balance doesn't match the ending balance of the month before. So we know something's changed and we're trying to figure it out. But most of the time, like this example, when I was helping this gentleman with his, he had 12 months and the property management report showed rent received, but it did not translate into his deposits. So they owed him $700.
Wow.
So they collected it, and it wasn't intentional, right? It's just, again, if they're making changes or things in their system, or they just didn't quite put it in the right place, then it didn't come across. So we always just think that when we get these statements and we get these deposits, that they're correct. And it's just not always the case. But I would say 2 + 2 does not equal 5. And so on a spreadsheet, it can, but putting it in a system, it can't, right?
You're always about making things faster, but also smarter, and double checking, make sure nothing is being missed. That's the biggest thing we miss. And we kind of get lazy at times, and maybe just throw it in there because we're looking at this one thing. I think that's where most people get, have a mistake where they forgot to log something, or they didn't do something, it didn't count for something, or they don't know what category to put something in. They have a transaction, and people get lost in that. And CPAs, like Marty, is not their bread and butter, right? They're not built to do that. They can do it, but that's not what they're for. It's the day-to-day transactions is where bookkeeping comes into huge play here.
Yeah. And I'm certainly not a CPA. I love the money side. I like the bookkeeping. I like this side of it. But you'll see here shortly. I mean, I do try to line your books up for your CPA to match the fields that they need to insert into their systems, right? So, I do try to be very aware of those type of things. But now let me translate this even more into your note servicing companies. So it's very similar to the property management. Because every month this property manager report showed that he was getting $700 a month on the reports, but it didn't translate into his deposit.
Right? Oh, man.
So you're seeing your property management report. You're saying, oh, rent every month.
Yeah.
But he wasn't actually getting the money.
Because he has tracking his bank account.
Yeah. That's like when the season changes and you've got your old winter jacket back out and you stick your hand in the pocket and there's $20. Yes. In this case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing for your servicers, because at the end of the year, we're breaking out those servicing reports. There's principal, interest, servicing fees. Sometimes there's forced placed insurance. And if you've got 100 notes, you might have 100 lines on your breakout, but it really has to be done because that's your only checks and balances. And I'll have this happen all the time. Every
do
month.
You, without naming names, are there servicers that are better or worse at what they do?
Mm-hmm. Yes. There are some that we don't find many errors on, and there's some that, are just a struggle. Yeah, yes.
So, and if you are listening, servicers, watch yourself.
I couldn't really put a servicer up here because all of the ones I had people's names. So that's kind of why.
Appreciate that. Yes.
Property management. But we'll find at the end of the year, the servicers have, most of them have what we call a 1099 report. And so it'll show for the borrower all the principal received, all the interest received, and then that supposedly comes to you, right? And so at the end of the year, that's our checks and balances. Okay, does our principal match? Does our interest match? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the year, a lot of times it won't. Because how many times are you working with the servicer and during the year, something was wrong and they fixed it, right? Or they might have done something as principal when it should have been interest. And so they fix it. And now our totals don't match. And so we have to go back and... But that 1099 report spells it out for us again, so we can, make sure that it's there. But there's many times there's 12 principal payments, 12 interest payments, and the client only got 11. Mm-hmm. So we find money all the time.
And one of the things we recently ran into is that we would put up, you know, pay for property taxes, right? And we completely forget if we ever got the money back because we keep moving. And this facet tells us, hey, listen, you're still pending this, and ours is stuck in BK in one of our assets, and we're waiting a year for that money to come back. But it's really easy to forget about that, right? Like, oh, I put the money up, you know, this case, think the property tax was like $600.
Mm-hmm.
Almost forgot about it until our system flagged and says, hey, listen, this is still outstanding. And we had a reminder set for every 3 months. We got to follow up on this. But you, if you're doing this on spreadsheet, you can easily completely forget that you pay property taxes and you're still waiting for the money to return.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing that people do on that is they will take that $600 that they paid for property tax and they'll count it as a property tax expense. And it shouldn't be coded like that. It's almost more like escrow. So it should actually be sitting in like the balance sheet on holding costs. And then you'll never forget about it because you paid that $600. And now each time you get that money back from the borrower, it's reducing that $600.
Gotcha.
So then you can't lose it, right? If it's in your books like that. But if you just took it as an expense, exactly, now it's gone.
Very well said.
Yeah.
I mean, Nathan, how many times you pay property tax, right? Like all the time, especially in notes in BK. Because what we found in the last, since the pandemic, is BK loans just are not the same as before. There's so much delay now in BK, I found, that just seems to be prolonging. And just expenses add up. You're paying property taxes, you're paying this, paying that. And the BK court's very slow to respond. And if you don't have these flags and checks and balances or a bookkeeper to kind of remind you, you're going to have a lot of problems because you're going to think you're making more money and realize that you put out all this money out there that's still sitting there in like accounts receivable kind of feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've had the opposite as well, where borrowers making overpayments into their escrow account for taxes. And then at the end of the year, we say, oh, look, you've got an extra $2,000 in there. Do you want to just apply that to your payment? I can't do that, but they can. But
that's true.
Wants to tell the servicer, go ahead and apply that to payment, and they get a break, or they can catch up on payments or whatever the case might be.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, like I said, in general, you get these statements from people and you just think that they're correct. Right. And so you have to have that checks and balances in place. They just, you know, they're even their systems, if it's not put in their system correctly, then there's going to be an error, right? So even with a system, you can have human error along the way.
Yeah.
But those are still not bookkeeping, right? Their systems are managing what they do, but you've got to put it in your books.
Awesome. Okay. Here we go. Number 5, nightmare of note investing bookkeeping. Throw it at us. Hopefully I didn't make this mistake.
I know, so we have a CPA, so I'm a little intimidated to talk about this a little bit, but
Barry's nice.
Yeah. So this is one of the struggles I even have with my clients, because what happens when you get your tax return? You just sign off and you send it, right? Like, very few people actually look at it and does it match my books and are all my numbers there? Because it's intimidating and not everybody understands the tax return, right? And that's why we have awesome CPAs who do that. But, you know, you need to have a general idea of what's going on. I mean, there's a lot of other numbers on that tax return that you're not going to have any idea where they come from. But you should be able to find your numbers in there somewhere, right? And so this was a girl that I was working with, and I actually do her books, right? And so we did her books 1 year, everything was great. The next year we did her books, and she called and she said, you know, I have to pay $9,000 more this year in taxes, and I wasn't prepared for that. And I don't know why, because both years were very similar, right? Like very, very similar. And I said, well, you know, once you send me both returns and I'll look at them and I'll see if I see what the difference is. And the only difference, and so first of all, I'll tell you that this little print screen I have here comes from the Schedule C. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's That's when you have an LLC, that's part of your tax return, right? And so these are the fields that your CPA would be working with and trying to fill in. And so, you know, I try to line the books up to match these type of things, right? And so the only difference is the first year, they had office expenses of just over $10,000. And the second year, there was no office expense. I mean, it was like 200.
Whoa.
So that was a huge expense the first year that she got to take it, right? So she paid less taxes. But I'm comparing it to her books. And I said, we don't have $10,000 on your P&L of office expenses. So I don't know what this is. You need to ask your CPA what this is. And just for the record, her CPA's office is her uncle. Her uncle didn't do her taxes, but it was just a mistake. Like that $10,000 just should not have been there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oops.
And so, obviously this next year she had to pay $9,000 more to the IRS than what she was planning to take. And so, go ahead.
No, it's not a fun thing to have to owe the IRS anything at all, but
yeah.
No. Especially because this was not a large investor with lots of money, and
I presume she owed money for last year too, because it was not supposed to be mm-hmm. in there.
Yes, yeah. Because she keeps money out, right? And she plans. She does well. She plans to pay her taxes. So the prior year was fine, but this year now, she had saved money, but she was short $9,000 because she didn't plan on, she planned on having the same book of business, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really try to encourage people, like when you get your tax return, compare your numbers. Like you should have your P&L and you should have your balance sheet and start looking and just have a general idea. I sent my tax return back 4 times last year to my CPA because just simple things on my P&L were not on there. My postage wasn't on there, for example. Right. Something really simple, okay? So you just have to, you really have to be involved in that process, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, again, you don't have to know everything about this to make sure you do it correctly. You have to know the right person and the right people around you to do it correctly. And that's one thing about the space in general, right? Knowing the person to turn to for questions and curiosities is key in this space. And this space is small. So you can ask the question of, who's doing bookkeeping for a majority of people, right? And you're going to hear Debbie's name mentioned many, many times. So feel free. You have to understand that bookkeeping is an art just like investing is, and that what we're doing is in traditional real estate. You can't bring it to your rental or your property manager, CPA, or bookkeeping to do it. It just ran differently. There's a lot of nuances that we just aren't common in our space, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest mistake. So feel free in the chat, if you have particular questions, we'd love to take some Q&A now and just kind of go through some scenarios. Please don't be too specific on deals and whatnot. So hopefully that helps out with people and whatnot. So cool.
And hopefully a few little horror stories, just really reiterate the importance of your bookkeeping and it's not just because I do it, but your bookkeeping is the most important part of your business because that is how you invest. That's where your money goes. Like, you just have to do it. You're running a business.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got a question regarding just the webinar in general. Yes, this is recorded. Replay will be on our YouTube channel as well as our podcast. Feel free to take a look at those two things. I put a link in there. You can go right to that. You'll link to the podcast as well as the YouTube channel. This will be kind of broken up and a little bit more smoothly and put on YouTube, hopefully over the weekend. My son's doing the editing, so hopefully the video games don't get in the way of that. But it's good to see the fact that people are taking a consideration and that this is an important part of your business. just like servicing, just like your attorney, you have your keys to your pieces that make you successful. And I don't think anyone here would play attorney or play servicer if they're doing a business entity. So please take this into consideration. And I'm going to ask this question before anyone else does. I'm sure someone's going to ask a question. Debbie, are you taking clients right now?
I am, yes.
Right?
Yeah, I have an assistant who helps me, and I'm interested in adding to that. So I am this year, yes.
Awesome. So I put the link in there for the webinar and podcast and all that stuff. Please feel free to take a look at both of them. I'm also re-putting in Debbie's information. There's a link there. Please feel free to take a look at that. Click on that. You're going to get Debbie's information, and she'll reach out to you and ask questions. So is there anyone out there that has some specific questions regarding an asset or a note or a scenario that you were just weren't sure about? Keep them in general if you do. If we do get any questions, that's fine. I'm sure there'll be more and people are going to be a little bit shy. And that's when you just go ahead and fill out that quick form and you can ask Debbie directly and keep it private. Debbie, when you get these books in hand, what is the best way for the investor to kind of send the information? Are they giving you a log on to their Chase bank account, or how does that typically work for you?
So the way I do it with my clients is at the end of the month. So, you know, I'm not involved in their day-to-day business, right? My goal is to get them a good profit and loss and a good balance sheet so they can review their numbers, and then they'll have it when they need to do their taxes, right? So at the end of the month, I usually have bank logins, credit card. I have logins for all the servers, so my clients don't have to send me that data unless they just want to. I do have two clients who still send it to me every month. But banks have an accountant login, right? I can't spend your money. I can't move your money around. And so at the end of the month, we download everything. We put it all in the books. And then I send my clients a profit and loss and a balance sheet. And it's in a spreadsheet format. So I can highlight things and ask questions. And then they can mark it up and return it to me. But, it is a P&L and a balance sheet. I can just export it to Excel, right? And then they'll send me the comments back. But, I can get 80 or 90% of it done without their input, right? Once I kind of know what's going on, we do all the breakouts before it gets to you. But sometimes, the bank has deposit. And when I click on it, you can't see an image. So, that's the kind of thing, like, I'm like, hey, here's a deposit. I can't tell what this is for. And so we just do a monthly cycle like that.
Yeah. So, as you can probably see, one of your clients brought his name up here, Nick on LinkedIn. So you've saved him some nightmares, and you've saved all of that stuff. Nick, I appreciate the shout out to Debbie. It's awesome. So that's awesome. Guys, when we're buying these notes, it's very easy to get distracted. We kind of do a lot of things. We're doing marketing, we're doing emailing, we're evaluating assets, we're talking to our servicers, talking to attorneys. We need to take more things off our plate. And this is one thing you take off your plate, right? It's simple. It's easy. So please feel free to reach out to Debbie. Debbie, are you to be speaking any other locations? Are you doing kind of a future webinars or conferences? I know we saw you at Node Expo. Are you be attending anything coming up in the
Well, spring? It sounds like I need to check out DME for May.
Sure. Yeah.
I'll do these podcasts in certain groups along the way, when they're kind enough to, to ask me to join in. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I enjoy that. It's a great way to kind of see everybody who's out there, because I, work from my home office. So like everyone, we're not around people every day, right?
This is true.
And I can tell you, people, it's an expense, right? When you're just first starting out and now you've got this another expense to pay a bookkeeper. But for some people, my goal is that you don't have to be looking at this report every week, right? Like I said, I'm doing it monthly. And so once a month, if my clients can sit down and look at their books, some don't look at it for 3 or 4 or 5 months, right? But but at some point you are looking at the nitty gritty of your business. But I do monthly, but I can do quarterly for someone, or like six times a year or every other month. So there's ways that it can be more affordable for everyone who's just starting out. Because let's say you just have one note, maybe quarterly is plenty, right? You're going to pay out your JV partner quarterly, things like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it can be it can be affordable.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is such an awesome time. You're so gracious with your ability to share your information, share your knowledge, and open honest. I think I've tagged you on a million things. I'm looking back at YouTube. We did a call back in 2018. One of my first, videos I did with a couple of people on there. But back then you were still the person to go to. So the notoriety and the name has been around for a while. So Debbie's not a fly on the wall. She's been around for a long time. So please reach out to Debbie and reach out to her. If you have questions, reach out and ask questions. I know that the information is in the link, so go ahead and do that. And I'll let Nathan come to an end here, see if he can twist our question to make it appropriate, I guess.
So well,
with that in mind, though, let me thank you for that. And I really appreciate having the time with you guys.
I'm curious, Debbie, are you investing in any kind of real estate or notes yourself?
So I only do passive, right? So because I don't have time to manage. So I'm a passive note investor.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, that is good.
Yeah. But no rentals or flips or, you know, I don't have any of that stuff going on. A lot of my clients do, but
So then as you're doing everybody's books, you get to see a lot of the numbers. Have you seen any changes over the last little while and any kind of predictions for the future of where things seem to be going?
No, but I will say I only passively invest with my clients because I can see their books. That's how I have that comfort level, right?
Yeah.
No, I have not. I'm trying to think if I can see anything that stands out, but yeah, I don't. That's probably a little bit more for you guys than the note, you guys note experts, because what I'm seeing in the books as far as performing, not performing, like none of that seems to be different. Some people obviously focus on one or the other. No, I don't really even see a change. Like, even if they had performing notes that have stopped performing, like that doesn't even seem like it's any more or any less. Just the typical,
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha.
Cool. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens here over time, but it's good to get that perspective as well.
Yeah. I feel like there's going to be, because I'm a real estate agent, I feel like there are going to be many more opportunities in the note world because people have purchased homes too high in this last craziness, and they're going to be upside down. And I was just dealing with one person that they have to sell their house now after a year, and they got it listed for $90,000 less than what they paid. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They're not going to be able to afford those homes that they've been buying.
Ugh. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Cross your fingers, things kind of fix up, but we're not sure where we're going to see. So, well, Debbie, it was a pleasure. Hold on for after hours. Everyone else, feel free. You catch a recording on YouTube. We will be back next week. We'll be having Steve Lloyd. He's a very motivational speaker, as well as he's raised hundreds of millions of dollars in capital. So if that's something you want to learn about, stay tuned.